It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
I left the city, I've been browsed. Treading water that they drown. My head on a swivel, yeah. It's only really my surroundings.
Hello and welcome to episode 227 of the Smash Accept podcast. I'm your host, Michael Royer. You can find me on Twitter at DynastyDadFF. We are just 9 days away, all right? We're coming at you in the morning again. I got my C4. I'm ready to go. Like, we got to talk fantasy football. We got to talk rookies. We got to talk how you guys are going to make those trades, how you're going to get to the spots that you want to be in. Nobody better to do that with than my main man, Snoog. How you doing today, brother?
Doing good, Dad, and there's no better way to start off the week waking up, smashing with my boy, Dad, and we're about to get the best time of the year. I mean, 9 days away from what we live for in the Dynasty Fantasy Football community. Draft night's rolling around. I can't wait to hear that little shuffle re-roll music sound with the pick is in up on the screen.
Yeah.
We get to see the Bears finally capitalize on taking Caleb Williams to start off a phenomenal draft class, so I'm excited. 7 wide receivers are going in round one. Mark my words, and I'm excited to dive into this.
This class is really exciting, and what we want to talk about today is taking your prospects from 2022 or 2023 and reshuffling the deck to make sure you get those guys, the guys that you really want to get. And one thing that I've been doing, and I know you guys have been following, is putting out, started at 101, 12 days out. It's like the 12 days of Smash Christmas, you know what I mean? We did the 101, the 102, all the way down to 112. I'm going to tell you trades that you can make for specific players. I'm going to tell you how to make just pick trades to get to where you want to be, you know, and player equivalents and things like that. Because it isn't just, do I want this guy at this pick? There's so many different options. And today what we're going to talk about with that is just reshuffling the rookie deck. So when it comes to drafting picks, right, every year, Snoog, like in 2023, we loved all 12, right? We're like, all these guys are going to hit. There's no chance they aren't going to hit. And, you know, with Bryce Young didn't hit, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, Quentin Johnston, you know, but the other 9 did really well. On a typical year, you're looking at about a 50% hit rate. We had 9 out of 12, baby. Like, 2023 was really, really good. I think 2024 is going to be very similar. You know, like, there's a very real possibility that we get 7 to 9 guys hit out of this class. And we want to put you in a position where we're taking guys from last year that didn't hit and moving into 2024 where you have another opportunity to get into that spot.
Yeah, exactly. And you nailed that. I mean, last year's draft class is so near and dear to my heart. Like, I completely loaded up on draft capital, crushed a bunch of one-year punts in expensive leagues, and now I have super teams because of last year. And I got to pick and choose who I like because I was really attached to guys like Gibbs, Stroud, just from a who I liked perspective outside of fantasy football. This year, man, I mean, Malik Nabers, shout out Dark Nowitzki. Smashing 103, baby. Yep, we've been on that train for a while now, and I think that's pretty consensus now at this point. But Malik Nabers is a guy, Xavier Worthy is a guy. These guys have been following since they were true freshmen in college. So it's really exciting to see those guys finally come out. And it's not likely where you see 7, 8 guys hit as rookies in a draft class. We saw it in 2020. We saw it in 2021. We saw it in 2023 where there's that stacked lineup where you're getting like a Travis Etienne, a Trevor Lawrence, a Jamar Chase, a Kyle Pitts, Najee Harris, a Jalen Waddle, a Devontae Smith. The list goes on with all these draft classes. This is another draft class that will enter that trajectory. And I think there's a really good chance that there's maybe 5 to 6 top 24 dynasty wide receivers in a year or two coming out of this draft class.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be fun to navigate. We talked about where the tiers are, you know what I mean? It's going to be fun to get into those areas. What we want to do now is talk about how to move into those areas with guys that didn't quite hit. You know, like, we look at a guy like Jaxon Smith-Njigba, and you and I both loved him coming out. You know, this is probably, you got to be honest and humble about it. This is probably our biggest miss. You know, it's not saying that he doesn't have an opportunity to hit, but when you look at, like, this is some research that I kind of pulled up, and I really was liking it. Over the last five Superflex rookie drafts, there have been 23 wide receivers taken from 106 to 112. You know, and last year we had JSN, we had Zay Flowers, Jordan Addison. You know, we had guys that added into that group. 13 of those 23 guys have increased year one, or at least maintained value. And in your rookie draft, that 106 to 112, Snoog, I mean, there's some studs that have gone there. A.J. Brown, Deebo Samuel, DK Metcalf, C.D. Lamb, Justin Jefferson, Devonta Smith, Waddle, Olave, Pickens, Watson, Addison, Flowers. All of those 13 hit year one. You know, 52% of those guys taken in that 106 to 112 range as wide receivers, they ascended. They got value, and man, did they get crazy value. You know, and I think this year, Snoog, before we get into JSN, we're looking at wide receivers in that 106 to 112 range, and you're looking at Odunze, Worthy, Brian Thomas Jr. You know, like, there's a couple guys in there. How comfortable are you with these guys joining that group of 13 as opposed to the group of 10 that just, you know, that they aren't quite there? I mean, for me, Rome Odunze is now getting closer to the 105 for me. But if he goes 106, I think there is 0% chance he doesn't hit. He's going to be a guy that is a top 10 wide receiver. Brian Thomas Jr., I keep playing with ideas of him or Worthy going to Buffalo, them just moving up and getting an absolute stud in there. Adonai Mitchell, I'm a firm believer, is going to go round one in the NFL draft and round one in, you know, in our rookie drafts, maybe even Troy Franklin. So talk to me a little bit about that, because I think that's important, right? If we're trying to reshuffle off JSN and get a guy in this area, how close are these guys? Are these guys going to hit? Is there a little bit more risk to their game?
Yeah, I think we've been pounding the drum for Brian Thomas Jr. and Xavier Worthy being first round draft picks since well before the combine. And now it's pretty locked and loaded. If you look at all Vegas draft books, most mocks coming out now, it's pretty consensus that they're both going to be first round picks. Mm-hmm. Adonai Mitchell's another guy in that range that I think is locked and loaded top 24, top 25 pick. I think there's a chance he could be the fourth or fifth wide receiver taken still. I think Brian Thomas Jr. or Worthy are going to go ahead of him, but I think there is a chance that he goes ahead of one of those guys, if not both. I think we could honestly probably throw in Troy Franklin with that group of guys that has a chance to hit pretty well in that, like, 6 to 12 to 201-ish range. Like, he's kind of more in that, like, Zay Flowers-y type trajectory, in my opinion, where there is some risk, but he's a talented player, and in the right hands, I think he could do really well in the NFL. I wouldn't maybe you could throw Ladd in there. I just don't think he has as much upside as the other four we just named. But
yeah,
those four guys, they all have a lot of things in common. They all checked 9+ Ross score, which is great to have. That's elite athleticism out of all four of those guys I just named. They're all early declares. They all had great numbers this year in 2023. They all have very well-rounded skill sets. So I think, despite that elite athleticism from four out of four of those guys being early declares, like, they're all power five wide receiver prospects. Those are kind of the traits you're looking for in these type of players. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not looking for the fifth year Pac-12 guy that had 1,000 yards this year, so now all of a sudden he's gassed up as a top 10 wide receiver, right? Like, you're looking at the type of guys that been that they were high recruits. They're in the SEC. They're in the Power Five. They're playing in championship games. They're making the playoffs. Like, they're early declares. They're young players. They were producing at a young age. Those four check all those boxes. That's why those are my four, five, six, seven right there. Mm-hmm. I think there's a really good chance two of those guys hit in their top 20 wideouts.
Yeah. And I think the interesting part that I keep coming up with is everybody's keep asking me, you know, how you rank these guys, who you taking at 108, who you taking at 110. And it's difficult to say. I can tell you who the top 12 are going to be in my mind. It's going to change on draft day.
Yep.
But if Adonai Mitchell goes to the Bills in that Stephon Diggs role, in a guy that has, you know, I comp to, you know, George Pickens, I think he goes into there with and becomes instantly moves above both of these guys, you know? Yeah, and I think
exactly
the biggest hiccup that people come up with is, you know, a guy like, you know, I'm not even sure where we go as far as, like, a guy like Corley or Leggett is going to go to the Bills and people are going to just overdraft. You know, we're not saying to move out of that. These are those guys that we think in that area. So 13 of those 23 wide receivers in the past 5 years, which is a pretty good sample size, hit, and they hit big. I mean, if you took A.J. Brown or Lamb or Jefferson. I mean, these are guys that are literally top five wide receivers, you know, and Jamar Chase went 105 in his draft class. So he almost hit that area. Wide receivers are values. And if any of those guys are going to be in there, Roma Dunze is going to definitely be in there. These other three or four guys are close. Now, Snoop, the other thing is eight of those 23 wide receivers fell off dramatically. Quentin Johnston, Treylon Burks. I mean, I'm going to say these names and I'm going to try not to cry. I know some of you guys are. I had guys in the Patreon that had all of these. There was a guy that sent it. And I said, do me a favor, buddy. Do me a favor. We're going to clean up your roster. But rule number one, and this is one of the biggest perks of being in the Smash Patreon right now, is we have rooms for, just like we did for Scott Fishbowl, just like we did for other drafts, every single draft slot is going to have their own room to talk shop. 101, 102, 103, etc. So you guys can start talking about, oh, this is the trade I got. This is the offer that I got. Start to put that together, and we'll help you with the draft assistance so you don't take Quentin Johnston, Treylon Burks, Jameson Williams, Sky Moore, Henry Ruggs, Jalen Reagor, Paris Campbell, N'Keal Harry. I have drafted, out of all that group, I've taken one share of Quentin Johnston and no one else. Because when you get to this area, you've got to start saying, all right, Snoop, this is my guy, right? So I'm in that 106 to 112. I'm not just drafting a wide receiver because this is what everybody says. I'm taking that area where all of these situations where I had an opportunity to take Quentin Johnston, I was moving back into the second and getting Sam Laporta plus. And every opportunity I had to get Sky Moore, I was moving back, you know, and it's like Henry Ruggs, Jameson Williams. I mean, those are guys that people loved, right? They fell in love with them. They had, you know, really good tape. And all of a sudden, bam, we lost value. So that's one thing where you and I are really big on, you know what, I don't need to change my portfolio and draft a Quentin Johnston, change my portfolio. And you know what, instead of Chris Olave on this draft, I'm going to take Jameson Williams. No, we're very affirmed on, like, this is my guy. This is who I'm going to get. What do those eight guys have in common? I mean, what's the idea? What are some things that we're looking for to look at? Okay, this guy could be a bust. You know, it's like, we knew Burks and Quentin Johnston are guys that we were like, okay, you know, they have a very high ceiling. But at the same time, it's a lot of athleticism. It's a lot of relying on 50-50 balls, a lot more being raw. A guy like Jameson Williams was a home run guy that we thought was going to be good for football, but not fantasy. Sky Moore, Reagor, Paris Campbell, a little bit smaller guys, one in college, maybe not in the pros. N'Keal Harry, another guy that's just that 50-50 ball guy. Henry Ruggs, I really thought had, you know, Ruggs and J-Mo were the closest ones that we were like, okay, these guys might hit. But talk to me a little bit about these eight guys, because we want to try to assess, this is what happened in the past, let's avoid it in the future.
Yeah, I think they all have similar things in common, just in terms of being like the lack of natural separation, route running, yes, their route trees. I think Keon Coleman fits right into this group of people.
Yeah.
Like, I think he is a perfect guy that can slot right in with these guys. Where Adonai Mitchell and Brian Thomas separate themselves from these guys is they were actually elite athletes. Like, everyone thought Burks and Quentin Johnston were these elite athletes, and then they got to the combine.
And Harry, and they were too.
Four, five runners, not jumping that great, like, overrated. Everyone thought they were 6'3", 6'4", and they ended up being, like, 3 inches smaller.
Yeah.
Brian Thomas Jr. was one of the best wide receiver athletes in years coming out of the combine. And same with Adonai Mitchell. So, I mean, that's where they separate themselves. They're both power five players as well. Because I see so much about Brian Thomas and Adonai Mitchell, the next Quentin Johnston, next Treylon Burks. Well, I think if you really look at it, it's like Treylon Burks' real issue was just injuries, staying healthy. Like, when he played his rookie year, like, he low-key looked really good.
Yeah.
Quentin Johnston's issue is he can't catch the damn ball. And that, like, we could thankfully say Adonai Mitchell and Brian Thomas don't have that issue because they're great ball trackers and they catch everything that is within their vicinity. Quentin Johnston just literally can't track a football or catch it. He gets open. He could have went through 1,000 yards last year on that Chargers team. He dropped like four passes of 50 plus yards. So
yeah,
I think it's just coming down to how polished are you. Christian Watson's another guy. I'd throw him right into this category. People want to say he hit. Sure, he had a good rookie year, but like, he's another guy that is just relied on athleticism and was just such a raw talent. But like, even being that elite athlete, that's where that floor comes in for like a Brian Thomas, Adonai Mitchell, is look at Christian Watson. Like, he could score a ton of touchdowns in the right system. He could be something with the Aaron Rodgers over there in Green Bay because of the athleticism and the tools that he had to offer. And you could even throw Chase Claypool in that as well.
Yeah, and I had Watson in the hit area because he was a top 24 wide receiver in the time that he played in that rookie season. And he had two flash games last year, so like I'm not completely out on Christian Watson like I am these guys. But Snoog, I mean, looking at Quentin Johnston after his rookie year, you took him 108. Now he's worth not even 208. And people are saying, yo, Dad, should I just cash out? And you're like, I mean, I would tear up, but I'm not cashing out just at 208. You know, but you look at these guys. Burks now isn't even worth a second. Jameson Williams, you're at that last opportunity in Dynasty to sell him for a late second. Sky Moore, I wouldn't even give you a third. Henry Ruggs is obviously in prison. Jalen Rager, I'm not even sure if he's in the league, but him, Paris Campbell, aren't worth a fourth-round pick, and N'Keal Harry's out of the league, you know? So it's like, you got to be able to look at these things and assess it and be able to reshuffle. Now, we missed two guys. There are two guys that had a disappointing year one, and neither of them had a value dip, and that's Jerry Jeudy and Jaxon Smith-Njigba. Jerry Jeudy had a disappointing year one, and we made the excuse of, well, he's a good route runner. It was the quarterback play. This didn't work out, you know, this, that. And now we're at a spot where Jerry Jeudy went from, you know, he was getting drafted above CeeDee Lamb in a lot of rookie drafts. Then after year one, he was still worth a first. Then, you know, after year two, we're like, ah, maybe it's a late first. And then even going into last year, we're like, he's worth an early second. Now go out and try to trade Jerry Jeudy. You're not getting the 210. You know, you're not going to be able to do that. And this is my point with Jaxon Smith-Njigba, okay? You know, he had a decent rookie season, 63 catches, 628 yards, 4 touchdowns. The problem is, you know, we don't want to just give up on a guy that's 22 years old. I'm not saying that he doesn't have a wide receiver one prospect level. I'm not saying that at all. But reshuffling for a better situation is what I'm trying to do. So if Tyler Lockett left, I'm more bullish on Jaxon Smith-Njigba than I am right now. What I'm saying is, and so much about dynasty trades, and people don't pay attention to this, Snook, is about your ability to trade that guy for his likability, for the thought process. And if a guy had a good rookie season, we look at him one way, like Zay Flowers. If he had a disappointing rookie season, you look at him in another way. And what I'm trying to do is, if you have Jaxon Smith-Njigba, year one, he was worth the 106. Right now, you can get the 108 after a disappointing season. I'm not saying sell straight up. I would for the 108, but 109, 110, I'm seeing, I would not sell him for that. However, what I would start to do is I would start to tear up. I would start to hedge my bets a little bit, reshuffle the deck, if you will. And you and I have been talking about that for weeks here. I mean, right now he's in the same value tier as Metcalf, Addison, you know, Tank Dell, Pickens, Debo, Reed. Arguably, he's more talented than that group. You know, like I think he has, I would rather have Pickens right now. But what I'm trying to do, and I've done this in the Patreon with multiple guys, and I'm really excited about sharing some of these, because one of them, I took Jaxon Smith-Njigba and the 108 and paired up to get Garrett Wilson. That's the kind of move that you want to make in Dynasty, because now Garrett Wilson's value, if he has 800 yards this season and gets injured, is not going to dip too far. He might go from wide receiver, you know, 5-6 to wide receiver 8. Jaxon Smith-Njigba has another disappointing season, and now he falls to, he's barely worth a second. And that's just how Dynasty is. It's what have you done for me lately? And in this situation, I will gladly give up, you know, J.J. McCarthy type plus Jaxon Smith-Njigba to move up to a stud like Garrett Wilson.
Yeah, I agree. I think Jaxon Smith-Njigba, like you said about Jerry Jeudy, will hold his value a little bit better because of just the pedigree of player he was. And he fits that stereotype of good route runner, gets open. Like, he's not that Treylon Burks, big, fast, athletic wideout. If he sucks year one, then no one wants him, right? Mm-hmm. So I think you have a little bit more like liquidity with JSN, even if he puts up 800 yards and 5 touchdowns this year and just flashes, right? We know he's an elite talent. We know the level of player he is. This is your damn opportunity to realize how important landing spots is.
It is.
Because even JSN, this was a guy that was bulletproof based on like almost every single guy I know on Twitter, in the draft community.
Yeah.
Very, very smart-minded guys that are great analytic guys, had a bulletproof. Like, I had a bulletproof. You did. Everyone, Zoltan did, like we all did. It's just the landing spot was so bad for him. There was just no room for him to thrive and get into a rhythm. He flashed the talent. We saw that one-handed catches. We saw him dominating in training camp. We saw the game winner walk off in overtime. Like, we saw what the potential was when he was asked to do so. But he's there with the three musketeers and they're sharing that room like you wouldn't believe. And I don't think Geno Smith is a guy that can throw for 4,500 yards and take advantage of all three of their skill sets, right? Like Geno Smith isn't that great of a quarterback. So I think like Jerry Jeudy, I mean, this guy gave us wide receiver 45 and wide receiver 91 and was still worth a first.
Yeah.
Well, and then he brought us 980 yards on 100 targets in like 13 games, pacing for like 1,200 yards, and he was worth an even better first. And then last year he was just so disappointing, and now he's back to the second range. But I could see JSN kind of following that same path, even if they're on the same production trajectory.
And if JSN, don't get me wrong, this isn't a talent thing. If JSN had gone to the Chiefs instead of Rashee Rice, he's probably a top eight dynasty wide receiver with the talent. But you're right. The situation does matter. We go to an area where it's not improving. And there's, you know, we don't have a quarterback that can support three wide receivers in the top 30. You know, it's just not going to happen. And maybe he passes where Lockett is. But we're just saying these are some ideas too. If you're on a rebuilding team, you could tear down and get JSN on the cheap right now. Like you can kind of make those moves. Another move that I suggested, and I wanted to get your idea on this one because I'm just reshuffling the deck, resetting the clock, but I 103 and 201 or Jaxon Smith-Njigba in 106.
Give me the 103 all day. That's Neighbors. I'm looking at that like Neighbors and probably like Troy Frank or like an Adonai Mitchell maybe falls to that 201 spot depending on the league. For like a probably a Romer, Brock, or maybe one of the QB3, and then what was the other pick? JSN.
Like for me, it's close, right? But I want, depending on what your situation is, depending on what you have, you know, if it's a random 25 first, I'm smashing JSN and a random 25 first to move up to 103. Like if I can go get Malik Neighbors, who you and I both know. This is different, right? This is a bulletproof prospect who's going to get top five draft capital, which is rarefied air with the you know, Jamar Chase, Julio Jones. Like these are guys that are going to be absolute generational talents that are going to hit. So if you can move up to 102, 103 and get that, if you can use JSN, you do it. Right now, what I'm looking is if I come to you right now, you know, and you're rebuilding, would you rather have the 109 or JSN?
I think I'd take the swing on JSN, but it does depend who's on the board because that could be JJ, that could be in some leagues, that could be a Rome if he goes to like Tennessee and then Brian Thomas goes 17 to the Jags. I bet you there's a lot of people out there that are gonna take Brian Thomas over Rome Odunze at that point. So it's like I think I would take the shuffle on 109, honestly. I think that's the line though. I don't think I'd go past that, but it's close still.
There's two smash accept leagues where the 110 was just traded straight up for JSN. I think that's my line now is 1-9. I'm a very firm believer that at 1-9, if Adonai Mitchell or, you know, it's going to be worthy. It's going to be Brian Thomas Jr. or Adonai Mitchell going to the Bills. And I think you're going to just be able to mentally with that perception, reshuffle the deck, get yourself into position to really get yourself in. A couple more trades, you know, that I was suggesting that a couple guys got done. Guy was a contender. He gave up Jaxon Smith-Njigba in his 25 second for Michael Pittman. I'm smashing that. I know you don't love Pittman, but if you're contending,
I would take that.
You take Pittman or you take Devonta Smith right up. You know, I had suggested a major tier up, giving your 25 first to go from JSN to Garrett Wilson. Insulated trades, Jaxon Smith-Njigba in a second for the 111, 112 plus a 25 first. I think that's in the realm of possibility when you get to that 111 on the clock. And right now, the reshuffle move is I could get the 7 or 8. I'm getting rid of Jaxon Smith-Njigba. If I have the 9, I think the 9 is going to increase in value. If I have the 10, 11, or 12, and you're going to see that on the clock, Snook. I think you're going to be able to buy Jaxon Smith-Njigba for the 111. You know, like I think somebody's just going to fall in love with someone in that prospect or in this process. And I think that's part of the thing is reshuffling the deck sometimes is, you know what? I'm not huge on this guy at 111. You know, 111, somebody could, you know, really fall in love with Ladd McConkey going to the Panthers or something like that and wants to jump in there, go ahead and have him because Jaxon Smith-Njigba is a better prospect. So you can do that either way. You know, like sometimes we can just say, you know what? I didn't own Jaxon Smith-Njigba before, but if I have an opportunity to buy a talent like that for the 111, 112, maybe even the 201 plus, I think I would do that as well. another prospect in this same kind of thing that I wanted to talk about. Did you have anything you wanted to add for JSN?
I did, because I think there's a chance. I personally don't think there's a chance, but a lot of smart-minded people that have been along, like around in the draft community for a long time, Adam Schefter, Mel Kiper, a lot of these smart draft consensus guys, Daniel Jeremiah, Bucky Brooks, they all firmly believe that there's going to be like five, maybe even six first-round quarterbacks. I think there's only four. I would not waste the first-round pick on Bo Nix or Michael Penix, in my opinion. Yeah. I think they're day two guys, second-round pick guys, kind of like how Levis was. I was also out on Levis being a first-round pick. But sometimes it happens, and, like, I mean, like, look at Josh Rosen, those guys. I think if there's a world where Bo Nix does go where he's being mocked in that top 15, top 20 range, or Penix, I've seen both of them in some recent mocks from NFL.com. I think there's going to be people out there that take those guys in that like 8-9 range, and you're going to get Thomas Jr., Xavier Worthy, Adonai Mitchell at the 11-12, 201 spot. Because we saw it with 2021, right? Like, we saw Mac Jones go first round. He's a much better prospect than Penix and friggin' Bo Nix were, but he went 15. We saw Fields go later. There was five quarterbacks in the round one that year. We saw a Waddle in 112, 201. We saw Bateman in the mid to early second. We saw a late 108, 109, Devontae Smith. Like, there's a world where we might get that. I personally don't believe so, but that's why I like to tell people, like, hold on to your picks. Don't get set on anything yet. You don't know anything. I don't know anything. Nobody knows anything. The only time we're going to know something is April 25th at 8 o'clock p.m. when the draft starts.
And that's the crazy thing. People are saying, well, I just traded the 111 because I know who that's going to be. And no, you don't. No, you don't. Like,
you might have traded Brian Thomas Jr. for freaking Deontay Johnson.
Never happened this way before in the, you know, 5 years that I've been doing this. But I don't really have a firm second round. I can give you 12 guys that I think go in the second round. But normally at this stage in the process, this is who the 201 is. This is who the 202 is. And it doesn't change much for me mentally. Right now, it's all open. Like, anything after 110, I think is completely open. The realm of possibilities where, you know, like, we get Trey Benson goes to the Cowboys, he could go 109. You know, like, people are this 109 to 112 range, just like last year a little bit, where you were like, okay, is A-Chain going to be here? Who are we going to take? Is it going to be – it was supposed to be Charbonnet. Like, everything kind of changed. It's going to do that again. So don't trade that till you're on the clock.
Exactly.
So Bryce Young's another guy that we just talk about reshuffling the deck. So like JSN, I actually like the talent. I think if I could get him for a discount, which I've done in the offseason where I've paid the 1-9, 1-10, you know, and throw something in to get Bryce Young, or if I give Matthew Stafford in a second for Bryce Young or Derek Carr in a second, you know, like, those are the kind of moves that you make in February. Now we're getting closer to the season. And Snook, if I had to ask you, how many top 12 games did Bryce Young have last year?
Zero.
No, he had two. He had two, believe it or not. You know, but only five top 24 performances. Five top 24, and he started all but one game. That is an area where, again, like Jackson Smith and Jigba, completely underwhelmed. You know, like, I understand that the weapons weren't there. You could talk about the, you know, whatever you want in that process, and I think he is going to gain value, but... And this is the big but, right? We talked about this with Mac Jones after his rookie year. We talked about it with Fields, and we talked about it with all these guys who are like, yeah, they could really increase in value after year one, right? Then there's this situation where, what is Mac Jones worth now? He is worth a third-round pick in Superflex. You can't even get a second. You know, what is Trey Lance worth? What is Justin Fields worth? And I'm not saying that's Bryce Young. I think Bryce Young is going to hover around being worth that late first area right now. But reshuffling the deck. Some moves that I made that I've helped people make in the Patreon. We gave up Bryce Young and the 106 for the 101. I'm sorry. I like Brock if he falls there, but Caleb Williams is going to hit. Caleb Williams is going to be a top 5 to 8 quarterback. That's an absolute smash. You know, we've been doing deals like this in the past where you give up Bryce Young and the 104 to get yourself up to CJ Stroud, which I've helped somebody do in the Patreon. It's like, people get rookie fever. They start believing another guy. Bryce Young is never going to achieve where CJ Stroud is.
Never.
You know, a lot of people wanted it to happen last year. You and I were ahead of the game on that, but it's not going to happen. His value's never going to be up there. You know, is the 104 going to be worth CJ Stroud? Probably not, because you know, if it's Jaden Daniels right now, I will give you Jaden Daniels and Bryce Young for CJ Stroud or Jalen Hurts or, you know, Lamar Jackson, because that's what we know it is. And I know you've been working on a lot of quarterback buys and there's guys to move back. But I'm still just a firm believer of, I'm not sure if Bryce Young hits. I'm not sure if the 104 hits. Yeah, I'll package them both up and you give me Stroud or Jalen Hurts. I know what I'm going to get from those guys.
Yeah, I actually just made a monster trade last night in a start 11 league. There's three flex, three wideouts. Like, it's loaded up, super flex. Lacking a little bit in the depth range. I gave up Lamar Jackson in 5-point passing for the 106, 107, and Will Levis. But before I accepted that trade, I got a trade done before I did that trade, and I moved Will Levis for a 25 first and Marvin Mims, and then flipped Marvin Mims for a 25 second. So I turned Lamar into 25 first, 25 second, 106 and 107. I still like am fine to keep Lamar in that situation, but I felt pinned. Like, I need to make a move, break a guy down. I have Herbert. I have Dak Prescott that I got in another trade. So I just made some shuffling pieces, moved pieces around, and loaded up on draft capital now, confident in my draft ability to get Brock Bowers, Rome Odunze, and add value elsewhere to my team. You should be doing the same thing with your quarterbacks. Like, if you want to move off of Bryce Young, I actually just put out a thread on Dynasty Buys. I think Deshaun Watson is a great guy that's going behind Bryce Young, where you could probably get a plus that's in a much better situation, elite offensive line, elite run game. They got Jerry Jeudy added, Elijah Moore, Amari Cooper, David Njoku just broke off the scene. Like, Watson averaged 20 points per game last year in the five games that we did see. We saw some flashes. If he can get back to 75 to 80% of his old self, he'll be a top 12 quarterback. He's paying back value and giving you an ROI on that QB24 range, like the consensus has him. Another guy you could go up is, you can move up and you could get Dak Prescott. You can move up and you could get a Kyler Murray, give up a late first or give up whatever that gap value is, and get a guy that's not a CJ Stroud level, but you can still get that elite production at a cheaper cost, in my opinion. So
yeah, when I put out my Jaden Daniels 104 thread, everybody's like, oh man, I'd rather have the 104 than Dak. Would you really? Like, would you rather have that? Because Dak Prescott or Brock Purdy are still too cheap. And at the current valuation, Bryce Young's going for the 108. Those guys are going for the 104. If you tell me I can add, you know, a late first on top of Bryce Young to get to Brock Purdy or to Dak Prescott, I'm going to smash that all day. Like, I don't usually advocate trading your 25 first, but if it's a late 25 first, I don't think there's a chance that Bryce Young is worth more than Dak or Brock Purdy by the year's end. Could he sneak into that? Like, right now he's pretty close to Jared Goff. If I'm contending, I'd rather have Goff. You know, like, I like Bryce Young, and people are going to be like, Dad, you were saying to buy him. I was in February and in March, and now we're in April, and we're getting to the draft, and now it's time to reshuffle it a little bit. And, you know, if I could get your Watson one was great. I saw a guy in the Patreon got Bryce Young in a 25-second for Deshaun. Oh, I'm sorry, Deshaun Watson in a 25-second for Bryce Young. Smash. Absolutely. I'm going to do that all day long because Watson has shown that he can score those points. Bryce Young, we're hoping that – Deontay Johnson is going to help with that. We're hoping that they draft another wide receiver. We're hoping that, you know, the offensive line has improved. And, you know, there's one thing to be hoping that a guy moves there, but in comparison to like CJ Stroud struggles in 2024, he's still going to be worth a top eight quarterback. Bryce Young struggles again. All of a sudden he's worth a ham sandwich. Like, we're done, right? Like, we're out on him. And what I really like that you said is, you can cascade these trades. I was doing something similar where I was offering Stroud in a rebuild. I wanted to get the 102, the 109, and Will Levis. And I didn't want Will Levis either, so I shopped him to someone else. And I said, what are we going to do here? You know, and I got another first for him. And then I was like, well, if I move back from the 102, what can we do here? And then I got the 106 and Bryce Young for, you know, for that 102. So it ended up, would have been, if it went through, would have ended up being Bryce Young, 106, 109, and a 25 first. That's four firsts. And I think most people don't think that way. And I'm glad you brought that up because it's like, there's the cascading trade. People say, well, you know what? I don't want Will Levis in that trade. Somebody else does, right? I don't want Bryce Young in that trade. Someone else does. So as soon as, before you hit that smash accept button, go to the rest of the league and be like, hey, you know, yep. I'm potentially getting Bryce Young here. I'm potentially getting CJ Stroud. What would you be interested? You know, like, and if we do that, would you give me your 25 first plus this? And you start to get that area where now all of a sudden you're just compounding that interest. Everything's getting better. Your ROI, like you said, is considerably better, and you have more assets that are going to really pan out. So exactly. I love that mentality. I love it with Bryce Young. Right now, on the other side, and we talked about it with Jaxon Smith-Njigba, if I have Bryce Young and I'm contending, I am more than willing to give up Bryce Young in a second for Kirk Cousins in a first, or Bryce Young straight up for Jared Goff. I think Jared Goff still is the most underrated dynasty quarterback for the amount that you have to pay for it versus what his production is going to be. Him and Dak Prescott are the two safest. Kyler Murray's still the most undervalued when it comes to that. But if I can trade Bryce Young to get to one of those guys, I feel comfortable about my QB room, you know, because most teams, if you have Bryce Young as your QB one, you're not feeling good. If you have him as your QB two, you're not feeling good. I own him in two teams as my QB three. Okay. So this is now an area, like I said, where if I trade Stafford in a second and Bryce Young hits, I'll sell him and I'll add. But at this point, you want to reshuffle and move yourself up. If he is your QB two, you want Cousins, you want Goff, you want Dak, you want Purdy, you want even, you know, a Watson type, you might not be comfortable with what happens here.
Yeah, exactly. And it's funny because I'm looking at my comps for the 2023 QB class at the time. So I had CJ Stroud. I love this comp. I still do. Mixture of Dak Prescott and prime Deshaun Watson, like a blend of those guys. These are like ceiling comps, kind of realistic ceiling outcomes. I had Anthony Richardson as Cam Newton light. And then I had Bryce Young as Russell Wilson. And I think Bryce Young could have gotten to that Russell Wilson level in the right system. He's very similar size, 5'11", 200 pounds, good arm. He's accurate. He's a smart player. He's great between the eyes, but he's not a guy that's going to be game changing for you when you have nothing, right? Like, this is a guy that can thrive with weapons around him. And I do think Carolina will eventually give him that opportunity. I think Canales is a great ad for Carolina to help coach up Bryce Young. I think he's a QB guru. I do have hope for Bryce Young. I think the talent's still there. I think he can get to that Russell Wilson type ceiling. He probably doesn't have the same rushing upside as him, but he's pretty quite mobile and quick for his size, like Russ was. And he's that strong arm guy that can push the ball downfield. Deontay is going to be a great add at pick 33. Maybe they get one of, maybe if Adonai Mitchell, Ladd McConkey, Troy Franklin is there at 33. I doubt Adonai will be, but maybe they add Troy Franklin with Deontay. And then he's got some serious weapons, right? With Thielen still there. And so I think there's hope for him. I know they added a ton of offensive linemen through free agency, spent a ton of money, added some guys on defense. They're making progress. So I think there is a good buy opportunity for Bryce Young. If you got a guy in your league that's a Bryce Young stan that still thinks he's better than CJ Stroud, now's your opportunity to cash out and get a Brock Purdy or get a Dak Prescott, add a little bit. Go get Deshaun Watson plus. Like, you don't have to get attached to these players, right? Do what's best for you, and that's going to lead you to more fantasy points and win you your leagues.
Yeah. I love that because neither of us are saying we don't think Bryce Young is talented. Neither of us are saying we don't think Jaxon Smith-Njigba is talented.
He's just dealt the wrong cards, both of them.
Exactly. But what we're saying is it might be more than a year down the road before we see either of them truly excel. So if you're rebuilding, these are prime buys. If you're trying to contend, they're prime sells. And now's time you can reshuffle. You can add to it. You know, last year at this time, you could probably have given Mac Jones and your 24 first for Dak Prescott because Dak Prescott's value depreciated. And people have been like, I'll consider that. Maybe throw me a second and it's done. Now, if you say that, we're not even close, you know? So there is an opportunity of Bryce Young even if he balls out this year, I don't think he's going to be top 12. You know, like the top 12 is hard to crack in based off of what his perception was year one. If he doesn't, he's going to drop considerably. So if you can add to him, you do it now. Guys like Quentin Johnson, what are you doing there? Because people are saying, you know what, I'd like to trade out on him. And it's like, I have one share. I actually traded for another because I feel like it's so cheap. And there is some possibility that the Chargers don't draft a wide receiver where Quentin Johnson is the guy. I would never pay anything close to a first, but I actually traded the other day. I gave up Curtis Samuel in a 26th third. I think Curtis Samuel is going to be good, but it's like, if I'm rebuilding, Quentin Johnson still has more name cachet than Curtis Samuel. Even if he has 1,000 yards, he's not going to gain much value with his age and what he is. And I can see it on the other side, right? He wanted to compete. He doesn't think Quentin Johnson is going to put up points. So sure, I'll take Curtis Samuel, who's my wide receiver six. But if I'm rebuilding, I want my wide receiver six to be a high upside guy like Quentin Johnson that could hit. And if he doesn't, I'll throw him in the trash.
This is probably the cheapest a wide receiver has been after year one that has had that type of like hype and pedigree as a Quentin Johnson being like a he was the second wide receiver taken.
J-Mo had one catch and he was worth more than what Quentin Johnson was. Like J-Mo, one catch.
Quentin Johnson was the second wide receiver taken in the draft. He was wide receiver two for a lot of people. He had great analytics. He's tied to one of the best passers in the NFL in a wide open wide receiver room. I mean, damn, I hope this guy can figure out how to catch the football, because I bought him during the season for a 26 second. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the type of, like, I am buying, especially on rebuilding teams. I'm taking that lottery shot all day on a guy that has the chance to be Justin Herbert's wide receiver one. Like, in any other world where this is like an SEC product that wasn't a TCU guy because of the Jalen Reagor stuff, he'd probably still be worth a late first, early second. This is the, like, Treylon Burks, look what he was valued after year one. Like, everyone just used that he was hurt excuse. Year two breakout, here he's coming. He's going to be elite this year. He's still worth a late first, early second. Like, Quentin Johnson is literally, look at Rashad Bateman. He held his value for like 3 years. So it's like,
Treylon Burks set the tone for Quentin Johnston to be cheaper. And Quentin Johnston is setting the tone for Brian Thomas to be cheaper. Like, they, and Brian Thomas is not those guys.
He's so Quentin much Johnston, more talented.
Johnston, if you look at it, before week nine, didn't really have above 50% snap rate, you know, and then he had a couple games where, you know, he had three games before there, you know, we look at it, it was one, two, three, four. He had nine games where he had over 80% snap. And in those games, he was producing 10 points, 8 points, 11 points. You know, they're not great by any stretch of the imagination, but my man did not, if you look at it, he had two touchdowns the whole year. What was he? At, you know, at TCU was a touchdown machine, a guy that had big yak ability, a guy that, you know, could win down the sideline. So I you want to believe, but you're not going to invest like you did with Treylon Burks, because people were still paying a first. Now you can get, I think, Snoog, if you're on the clock, people might give you Quentin Johnston for the 301, like 212, 301. I could see that happening, and I would not even be, you know, like, if you're talking about a round one pedigree, at 301, you're going to have a wide receiver who probably goes in round three. You know, like, it's probably going to be someone that falls into that area that goes deep. So I'm okay taking a shot on Quentin Johnston. This is not the podcast where we're saying buy Quentin Johnston, sell Bryce Young, sell Jackson Smith and Jigba. What we're trying to say is, if your guys don't hit, these are some opportunities for you guys to move forward. These are some opportunities for you guys to cash out and get yourself into a situation that's more favorable for you. So I'm excited, Snoop, because we're doing, right after this, a 2024 mock draft to get you guys into situations where we're going to help you with your draft. Snoop and I, our hit rates in the past have been through the roof when it comes to prospects. We were talking Stroud. We were talking Gibbs. We were talking hitting. Dalton Kincaid was my biggest hit. I had him everywhere. I was taking him above Quentin Johnston. I was taking him above or right at the same area as Addison, above Flowers. And those things panned out. You were doing the same with CJ Stroud. You were doing the same with Gibbs. We're going to talk about those guys that you have to invest in, like a Malik Nabers, like a Roma Dunze, like a Brock Bowers, like a Brian Thomas, Worthy. Those are guys that we're putting our stamp on. You guys got to check out that episode. And last week, man, our sales episode was honestly our biggest episode we've had since you've jumped on the pod, Snook. It is one where, if you guys haven't listened to it, go back and give it a listen, because right now on the charts, it's climbing up there. It's our third. Now it's actually just passed our second most listened to episode. I thought it was straight fire, and you know, I'm excited to see how that goes going forward.
Absolutely. I can't wait, man. We're 9 days away. It's so huge. I can't wait. I tweeted recently, FF Snoog says it's minus 10,000 that six wide receivers go in round one. I'm just going to say it again, because I take pride in this. Marv, Malik Nabers, Roma Dunze, Brian Thomas, Xavier Worthy, Adonai Mitchell. Lock them in. They're all going first round. Some key landing spots there in the 20s and late teens range. You got the Bengals. You got, I actually don't think the Bengals take one anymore, because I'm pretty sure T. Higgins is just going to play on the tag.
He is.
But I think the Jags, the Steelers, the Cowboys, the Bills, the Chiefs, the 49ers with Ayuk maybe getting traded. You could see the Lions, but I doubt it. But that could be another spot that could be intriguing. I think there's just a lot. The Chiefs, like, there's a lot of landing spots with these powerhouse offenses that need that number two, even that number one. And this is the perfect year to capitalize on that. So be prepared for your late rookie picks to skyrocket in value. Don't sell them yet. Wait for the draft. Stay patient. You're 9 days away. Just wait till after round one at least, because all it takes is Adonai Mitchell to go to the Bills, Brian Thomas to go to the Jags, and Worthy to go to the Cowboys. And everyone's like, who do I take 109? Who do I take 110? Who do I take 111? You could get your 109 at the 112. Like, that's the type of position we could be in. And then we could also be in a position where there's a huge gap between 109 and 111. So stay holding on to those picks. 9 more days. I'm impatient. You're impatient, but we got to stay patient together.
And I think you guys really got to pay attention to that 106 to 112 range because of things like, I'm looking at a tweet that I put out last August where, you know, in the draft process, I had Zay Flowers as my wide receiver two. A lot of people mocked me for that. He was in line to be the wide receiver one role in August last year, Snook. The current Dynasty ADP, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, was going 402 as the wide receiver 14. He fell in value. Quentin Johnson was going 505 as the wide receiver 20. Died in value. Jordan Addison was going 506 as the wide receiver 20. He stayed there. Zay Flowers was going 706 as the wide receiver 33 and was a guy that you could easily draft at 109 to 112 despite the pedigree, despite what was going on. His value has risen where he's a top 20 wide receiver, and I think you're going to see some more guys like that where Mitchell, Thomas, Worthy, they aren't the big three, but in another class, they are arguably in a top three of any other class that we've seen recently. So, you know, I'm definitely excited for those. Don't give up those early or those late draft picks. Listen to what Snook and I are coming out with next. Join the Patreon today. Money back guarantee. Can't beat that, man. Like, join. No one's taking it us up on it because it's been good value and they've enjoyed it, but we will give you your money back if you're not thrilled with the process. So thanks again for tuning in and enjoy the process. Boom.